It on Cape Talk.
It's a Sunday evening, a very good evening to you. Welcome to Cape Talk, and I'm Zane Johnson in for Lester Kivett this evening all the way through until 11 o'clock. And a few weeks into lockdown, I think we're heading into week 7 of lockdown, and the odds are that you've probably marathoned through the very best new shows that's on offer on your television. You've been watching a lot of things on Showmax, you've been watching Netflix, you've been watching just about everything. I know the kids have eventually and finally switched over to YouTube. They just fed up with most of the stuff that they're able to see. Well, the final season of This Country is finished. Tiger King left you suitably baffled, and Killing Eve is drip feeding us portions of season 3 of a mere once a week that we can watch it. And meanwhile, you probably caught up on the one show that you always meant to get around to watch. So what to do now? Twiddle your thumbs. Well, we've got some good news for you. Fortunately, there are plenty of slightly more overlooked shows tucked away, and from hidden gems to new movies, or even sort of early career highlights from your current faves, you can help us beat the sort of quarantine blues, if you want to call it that. Film publicist Kevin Creedman joins me on the line now for the most popular streaming picks for this week to uplift or distract you, and then giving you some hidden gems that you need to start streaming immediately. Kevin, a very good evening to you, and welcome to the show.
Thanks, Sam. Good to be here.
Kevin, I think, you know, if you're like me, you've probably flipped through so many things and watched certain things twice, and even those that you like, you've probably watched them thrice. But our first pick for this week is a local award-winning documentary from the respected filmmaker Riyad Desai. Now, I think Riyad also did Minus Shot Down, and he also did Everything Must Fall. And this is called How to Steal a Country. I was actually quite intrigued by this, watching the shorts and the sort of trailer of it.
Yeah, it's a fascinating documentary. I mean, it's Riyad's making a name for himself and picking defining moments from Marikana to Fees Must Fall. And in this one, he turns his lens to the rise and fall of the Gupta family in South Africa. And I should say up front that it's co-directed by Mark Kaplan, who's also an amazing South African filmmaker who won an Emmy for Alliance Trail about Solomon Linder and the Lion King scandals. But in this one, the rise and fall of the Guptas is just, it's like a true crime story that you would be watching on Netflix. As Phil Hafiji puts it in the documentary, they came here as traders and started by selling shoes out the boot of their car, but they left here as multi-billionaires in their own jet. And the documentary's take on how they did that in just 10 years is kind of plays out like a detective story as it follows one huge bribery scandal to the next. And it's not an easy film to watch. It made me pretty angry. It's just not easy to watch. I think one journalist says it's a trillion rand that's left the country unnecessarily. And that's a lot of money to watch disappear in 93 minutes of screen time. But I hope people do watch it. I understand the urge to feel that there's enough going on right now, not to add any extra problems to it. But I think it's as we face up to COVID, it's so clear that we need every resource we have to rebuild our society. And there's been so much conversation about where is Cyril going to get his 500 billion from. And I think this documentary is just a really important reminder that actually we should have had plenty of money. We should have had twice that if we'd been more careful at keeping an eye on it. So it's excellent watching, and it really will make you very grateful for the journalists in our country who have done such an amazing job at keeping the country accountable, even at times when the country hasn't been able to keep itself accountable.
It's quite interesting snippets in there from the Zondo Commission, and I like the way that they sort of use, you know, Jacob Zuma, or former President Jacob Zuma, and the Guptas and everything, and as a detective story where you have a number of suspects, and you sort of link this with a piece of cotton wool or a piece of string, and you kind of like link everybody together. It's quite interesting how they've done that.
Yeah, so they've followed it largely from three journalists, and you see they move from suspicion to confirmation with the Gupta leaks. So it's a really condensed, punchy summary. I don't know that there's anything new in it for people who are news hounds. But for me, who is someone who gets his news by reading rather than watching, there's also just something really powerful in watching the actual people, in watching the denials come off people straight-faced in just watching the interactions. So I found it fascinating, and it's a very easy watch. It's, as much as I say it's going to leave you in a bad mood, it's expertly crafted and fast-paced and is going to keep you entertained.
Yeah. How to Steal a Country by Riyad Desai. This is a short snippet out of that.
Just raise your right hand and say, so help me God.
Jacob Gedleyihlekisa Zuma, the President of the Republic of South Africa.
We will undertake the largest program of public investment in infrastructure in this country's history.
I come to South Africa excited to be investing here.
Ajay Gupta was quite a sharp guy. So he worked out what state policy was, looking where's the big public money, how do we get into that?
Came here selling shoes out of the boot of a car and left here on a jet plane. And that's the story, How to Steal a Country, worth watching. Chatting to Kevin Creedman this afternoon and this evening. And Kevin is a film publicist. He is telling us about the popular streaming picks for this week. The second pick is for little people. And I'm sure that moms and dads are quite happy to see kids sort of move away from watching the last of the Disney and the United States animations. And there's some quite interesting things coming out of the Ghibli collection on animations from Hayao Miyazaki on Netflix, Kevin.
Yeah, like you said, my five-year-old has definitely watched all of the Disney and Pixar movies well before lockdown even started. So these have been a saving grace for us. Studio Ghibli are, the Pixar of Japanese animation, but that probably doesn't do them justice. But their films have never been available to stream until earlier this year when Netflix started releasing them in batches from February. They're best known for a film called Spirited Away, which I would recommend for adults as well as children. It won the Oscar for Best Animation in 2003, and it's the highest rated animation of all time on IMDb. It's a surreal Alice in Wonderland-like tale about a 10-year-old girl who stumbles into a holiday resort for the supernatural, where she's given a new name and put to work. But if she forgets the real name, she'll never be able to escape. It's gorgeous and magical and wildly imaginative, but it does get quite creepy in places. So that's one that does have a PG rating, and it's probably best to watch with kids who are 9 or older. But Netflix now has 21 Studio Ghibli films for you to explore. And so far I watched 3 with my 5-year-old. So My Neighbor Totoro, which is worth watching just for the cat bus. Kiki's Delivery Service, which is about a starter off witch who starts a delivery service on a broomstick. And Ponyo, which is about a magical fish who falls in love with a human boy. That's almost like a Little Mermaid type story. They're all great, all ages options. Although the sea does get angry and quite scary in Ponyo. And don't worry if you're not in the mood for subtitles, they're all dubbed beautifully into English too.
There we go. Let's take a listen to the Studio Ghibli collection of animations from Hayao Miyazaki.
Walt Disney Studios presents a Studio Ghibli film.
Honey, don't take a shortcut. You always get us lost.
From master filmmaker Hayao Miyazaki.
What is it?
Come on, let's go in. I want to see what's on the other side.
Where are you going? Hey! You said just a quick look. Now let's go back.
You shouldn't be here. Get out of here now.
What?
Leave before it gets dark. You've got to get across the river. Go! I'll distract them.
That's just a bit of a snippet out there. So, with these things, you always need to be able to see them and be able to go and watch them. But that's available for you on Netflix. And Feel Good, the top-rated series, 2020 so far, according to Rotten Tomatoes, is a 25-meter, six-episode lesbian rom-com with Mae Martin plays a recovering drug addict who's sort of starting out as a stand-up comedian. And if you've seen any of the recommended films or shows and you want to share your feedback, or if you just want to tell us exactly what you're watching and what you think is actually worth watching, give us a call on 0214460567, or you can actually send us your series suggestions and, you know, tell us which ones you personally fell in love with. You can send us a voice note to 0725671567. I kind of didn't get into Money Heist, but maybe you can tell me. I believe after episode 3 or 4, it starts going somewhere. Kevin, tell us about this particular one, the top rated series for 2020, according to Rotten Tomatoes, called Feel Good.
Yeah, rom-coms don't normally top critics' lists. They tend to be slightly looked down upon as a genre. So that piqued my interest on this, and I thoroughly enjoyed it. I finished it this weekend. It's really quick. It's under 3 hours to watch, so it's a very easy binge to fall into. Comedian Mae Martin, as you said, writes and stars in this, and she basically plays Mae Martin. So it's very much based on her own life. And she falls for a British teacher called George, played by Charlotte Ritchie from Call the Midwife. They're very different. Mae compares George to a dangerous Mary Poppins, whereas she describes herself as more like Bart Simpson. But they're great for each other, apart from the fact that Mae is a recovering drug addict, and she's worried that she's might be using love as a replacement fix. And George is in her first lesbian relationship and hasn't come out to her friends and family yet. I think critics generally don't like rom-coms because they're often built on the assumption that if we can just find the right person, our problems disappear and we'll live happily ever after. But Feel Good gets that all out of the way in the first episode. They've kind of moved in together by the end of that. And it's very much about the way relationships and life aren't that simple. We can still be unhappy in loving relationships. So the title's a little bit misleading. This isn't completely feel good. And it's actually at least in part about how love doesn't always make us feel good, even when it's love. But it is really funny, and it's very real and vulnerable and smart and romantic. And I think one of my favorite performances in it was from Lisa Kudrow, who your listeners will know as Phoebe and Friends, probably best still. And she's wonderful as Mae's mom in this. And then I also just really liked how short it was. I think there's so many series out there at the moment. I am struggling to keep up. I have commitment issues probably ever since Lost, which you just never quite know if something's going to be worth all 9 seasons of it. So this is really, it's 3 hours. It's light and easy to fall in love with. I'm not quite sure it'll still be at the top of the critics' lists at the end of the year, but it's well worth a watch.
Chatting about what you can be watching on the box and what is available to you for you to watch, we're chatting to Kevin of Creedman, and Kevin is a film publicist chatting to us this evening. He was chatting to us about the Gupta Gate documentary by Riyad Desai, How to Steal a Country. Then we went into Hayao Miyazaki and his Studio Ghibli collection of animations, and then of course Feel Good, one of those fantastic movies that you did certainly must watch. And if you've been watching anything on Netflix or on Showmax or on any of the boxes, give us a call on 0214460567. Tell us what you've been watching, or you can send us a voice note to 0725671567. One of the last things this evening, Kevin, is the case against Adrian Sayed. And it's an Emmy-nominated follow-on true crime documentary series about the case that inspired the Breakout podcast serial. Tell us about that one.
Yes. So this one is about Adnan Syed, who was convicted of the murder of his girlfriend, Haman Lee, in 1999 when they were both in high school. That's also the year that I finished matric, so it cuts a little bit close to home on that. He was tried as an adult and sentenced to life, but from the very beginning, he pleaded innocent. No one really listened to him until a podcast called Serial came along in 2014, and that arguably became the first podcast to really become a pop culture phenomenon. I think it's on something like 175 million downloads and counting right now. And the people who listened to the podcast really tended to be quite obsessive about it. And they would go onto Reddit and they would relook at all the evidence. And this all inspired what really became what the film describes as arguably the first crowdsourced defense campaign, which actually led to the overturning of Adnan's original conviction in 2016. Didn't get him out of jail, but it just meant that they were supposed to then have a new trial for him. And you'll have to watch the series to see how that plays out. So the series revisits the original case, that kind of revisits Serial and the phenomenon that that created, and then it looks at the court cases that have followed since then, and there've been a few. It's directed by Amy Berg, who's really one of the world's top documentary filmmakers. She made the Oscar-nominated Deliver Us from Evil, for example, which is equally disturbing. This one's disturbing to watch because it's not... I think there are all sorts of conspiracies and people have very strong opinions on who did it, but it's really not a clear-cut case. But your options are either to believe that justice is really arbitrary. When you watch this, it's hard not to feel a little bit less trust for the justice system. And if you don't believe that and you do think that he still did it, you're left with the sense that, well, then your murderer can be a really nice person who everyone speaks well of. This is kind of a Muslim guy who was picked as I want to say prom queen. I'm not sure what the prom king equivalent would be. So he was a really popular guy who no one can say anything bad about. So either thoughts are really disturbing. I think true crime's having a moment right now, from Tiger King on Netflix to McMillions from HBO on Showmax. But one of the things I liked about this documentary series is how clear it is that while these are interesting cases, they're also about real people. And they're real people who've had their lives kind of upended by one tragedy and then have their lives turned upside down all over again by the true crime phenomenons that are following at the moment. So it gives you lots to think about, and it's very well made, and it will leave you with lots and lots of questions and disturbing thoughts.
That's our film publicist, Kevin Creedman. Kevin, thank you so much for joining us on this Sunday evening, and I hope to chat to you soon.
Great. Thanks so much.
And let's take a listen to the case against Adnan Syed, and currently on Showmax.
When you are working on a case that you think is a wrongful conviction, you're only on one side, and that side is getting to the truth.
The day she went missing was just a normal day to me.
It never hit me that something could be wrong until they found her body.
The suspect is Adnan Musad Syed.
그 아이를 죄를 주는 것밖에는 바라는 게 없습니다.
It felt like they gotta have the wrong guy. If he did what he did, then who's the person that I saw every day in class?
For years, I've been saying to Adnan, we should go to media, we should go to journalists, because they can do things we can't do.
But nobody realized it's going to turn into anything big.
Adnan Syed's story has captivated millions since the launch of the podcast.
Cape Talk.